Welcome to MPT Podcast. This is Pastor Tim Wilbanks. We pray that this Word of God will bless your life and ministry and increase God's blessing upon you. Nehemiah 4, verse 1. Oh my God. Y'all ready to go a little further? But it came to pass that when Zimbalik heard that we built the wall, he was wrought. He took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Whew. He spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revile the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even he was making fun and mockery in that even which they built. If a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach upon their own head. Give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Nehemiah prayed that. I'm going to bring this thought tonight from the Lord. What it takes to rebuild the damage. What it takes to rebuild the damage. We're in a revival building spirit. My spirit's become very sensitive. Very sensitive. Father, I love you. And tonight I pray that your hand that's scarred by those nails. Hey, I pray you lay your hand upon this service. And let that wound touch every wounded heart, every weak body, every afflicted body. Every wounded soul, let that wound of your hand touch them. Let them feel your virtue that goes through their body and their spirit in the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. If you're going to help the Lord, just do whatever you want to do. Can be seated. Nehemiah was a cupbearer of the Persian king Archias. A cupbearer responsibility was to take the wine and that he served the king and taste it to make sure there wasn't an assassination attempt upon the king. Nehemiah held a very influential position. He had to be honest and trustworthy, so God allowed him to be in that position. Sometimes he would even be an advisor to the king. You know, where you are, it's God's purpose that you're there. While even serving, Nehemiah was visited one day by some of his brethren and a group of men who had made the trip from Judah to where he was. To get an answer, saints of God, we got to take a trip in the spirit. Nehemiah asked, how are those back home, gentlemen, that returned to Jerusalem? But the men looked at Nehemiah and painted a dark picture of their return to exile. They tell him that people are in a very deep trouble, spirit and severe distress, and have great affliction upon their life. They tell them that the surrounding people, even of the nations, were disgracing them and made mockery of their city and how it looked. You see, the city itself, the walls had been torn down and the gates, church, had even been burned. Their protection had been destroyed. The thing that they needed the most had been taken out of their life from the invading enemies who desired to invade upon them. Don't that sound like our lives? But you see, having trouble and distress and being assaulted by the even the accuser of our brethren, their protection had been destroyed that kept the outside from invading and keeping them at bay. You see, saint of God, if we seek for an answer, we shall find an answer. Saint of God, there's nothing more than the enemy desires to do. And that is tonight, is discourage you and I of what we see and what we hear, and to use that to kill our faith and to kill our trust in God Almighty. I know in the Holy Ghost there's many of us can stand up and testify about what we're invading, what's invaded our life and what we're facing. And some of us can tell some horrible stories because you don't know everything that's going on in everybody's life. And in the Holy Ghost, the voice of God begin to talk to me about this. And every time that we start to rebuild and we start to have revival, you better look out. The accuser of our brethren is going to attack anyway and anywhere he can. But I got news for you. I'm going to come as Nehemiah tonight. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what you're hearing. I don't care what you're seeing. We can have revival. I'm here to tell you, does anybody believe we ain't seen our best days yet? We're going to see the better days coming. We're going to see greater souls come in. We're going to see greater things take place in the Holy Ghost. We haven't seen it all yet, but get ready. The accuser of our brethren. 1 Peter 5:8-9. My God, I feel him. Be sober. Be vigilant, he said. He's warning, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom that he may devour. He's looking for somebody to tear up and to hurt. Who resisteth steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You hear me now. That devil's after our brethren. He's after one another. He was working hard to stop you from seeking God for help and to rebuilding and reaching for revival. You hear me? These men could have stayed at home. They could have stayed home and been persuaded, but what they saw and what they heard, we're not going to Nehemiah. We're not going to go to ask and see if we can rebuild. We look at what we're looking at, we hear what we hear, and I'm just not going to do it. I'm discouraged. But no, these men said, you may sit here, but we're going to where Nehemiah's at, and we're going to get an answer, and we need God to help us. No matter what we see, no matter what we feel, no matter what we feel, I know God's got an answer. I know he's got a way out of this. I know he's got a door. I know he's got a ladder. I know he's got a step. I know he's got a way out of this. We can't just sit here because we got in the mully grubs and things are happening. There's an answer for your life. Oh, God. Rebuilding and obtaining what's been damaged. It'll take persistence. Wake up. It'll take persistence. It is possible. It is possible to rebuild. You've got to get up and you've got to pursue after it. It can be done. I said it can be done. How many believes my vision can be done? They'll stand from the altar out to the road. People be praying. People be healed. People be filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on. I'm dreaming that every day. I'm thinking about that every day. You may say, you don't know what I'm going. I know what's going on. The accuser, my brother, is trying to discourage you. You need to stand up and prophesy to his face and command him to get out of your house, to get out of your life, to get off your... You got power to do it. You got power to do it. You hear me now, Nehemiah. I love this part. When Nehemiah hears it, the Bible said he's moved. Somebody shout, he's moved. He's moved with a report for the people. If the report don't move you to pursue a change. If the bad report don't move you to seek a change, you'll never have a change. If the bad report don't move you to seek a change, you'll never have a change. Can I tell you something right now? If there's a bad report in this world, people are dying and going to hell every day. I saw millions of people between here and Branson, and not everybody serving God. And I saw, oh my God, we're living in the end times. And some of these folks don't even know what church is. Don't even know who you are. We got a job to do. We got to quit focusing on what we're going through, and you got to quit talking about how bad you're going through things and I'm going through things, and we got to turn to a God that I know with you, we can come out of what we're in and we can rebuild our life and we can have it back. I know with you, God, we can do it. Somebody shout, we can have it back. We can have it back because we got a God that can get it back. Hear me now, Nehemiah. You know what he started doing when he heard it? He started praying and seeking God. You hear this? When you are moved by a report, the word of God, you start pursuing after the change. It's not going to come unless you pursue. In Acts 20, 29, the Bible tells me and you this. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves, Paul said, enter among you, not sparing the flock. There are some devils going to come among us. Also, your own selves, your own selves, your own selves. Shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. They're going to speak things, going to try to get your ear. Therefore, what? Watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Come on, how did he do it? Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Do you understand? You're able to get your inheritance. Somebody praise that name. There are 12 prayers. 12 prayers that were recorded in the book here of Nehemiah on behalf of the people that they prayed. Verse 6 said that Nehemiah saw God night and day. There's work to be done in the spirit. Just because we're here, we hadn't arrived where we're going. We're here, but we're going somewhere else. We can't just pray one night. We got to pray every day. Nehemiah heard what was happening, and the Bible said he prayed night and he prayed day. He prayed night and he prayed day. You got to pray night and day if we're going to obtain what God has for us. If you're not willing to work in prayer and fast, the work would never be done if we don't pray. We work. Somebody shout, we work. Now I'm working. Right now I'm working. We work to affect the realm of the spirit. All of our praying, we come in here praying that it affects the service. All of our fasting, we pray it affects the service. Because we want people healed, delivered and filled with the Holy Ghost. And we want people to have an answer from God in all the hell they're going through. We want God to speak to them in a word or prophecy or word of knowledge or word of wisdom. And come on, and edify the church. That's why we pray. That's why we fast. That's why we worship. Because we want something to happen in the spirit world. Come on now. Is anybody hungry for a breakout? Is anybody hungry for a breakout? Is anybody hungry for a Holy Ghost breakout? my Holy Ghost, Jesus, I feel you. One day Daniel, man, this intrigues me. One day Daniel's in prayer. He read Jeremiah 29, his devotion, which declared this. He would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. He recognized that they had been 70 years there. And it was time to come out. It was time to rebuild. The work started with prayer and fasting. Daniel prayed and fasted for 21 days. You understand it takes to rebuild prayer and fasting. At that time, he was unaware of what was going on in the spirit world. But Daniel knew that he had been praying and fasting. We may be praying and fasting for 30 days, but it doesn't mean our answer ain't on the way. I'm gonna throw this at you. This is me and God. I've been praying for weeks about my vision, but it don't mean God ain't working on it to bring it to pass. But you know what I'm going to keep doing? I'm going to keep coming in here and praising Him. I'm going to keep coming in here talking about it. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to fast about it. I'm going to continue to do it because I know in the Holy Ghost there's some angels out there warring and working with God, trying to bring that vision and that dream to pass, because we're trying to bring the will of God to pass here in Middleton, and that's to reach a dying and lost world. Come on, church. He's in this room right now. I'm telling you, the Spirit has been stirred and the Spirit is working. My God, I feel it. I walked into church, not me and my wife. I said, God, I feel it. You see, until God revealed it to him, Daniel, through the spiritual messenger, Gabriel, who came to Daniel, said, Daniel, hold on. God heard you the first day. This is me and God. This is how God talks to me. In my vision, I've been praying about it. In my dream, I've been praying about it. He said, I heard you the first day. I heard you the first day. But there's a war going on over that vision. Do you think hell would step back and allow 400 or 500 souls to line up from here to the road to come in here? You think that's going to be easy? There's a fight going on right now. I said there's a fight going on right now. Yeah, it is. When I pray, I feel it. Can I tell you something, saints? Do you think the devil wants your answer to come to you right now? You think the prayer you're praying about affliction, blessing, deliverance, family, you think, no, he's going to do everything he can to hinder that prayer from coming to pass. Why? He wants to discourage you. He wants to defeat your faith. But there's got to be some Nehemiahs in the house tonight that'll say, hey, I'm going to tell you, you may come against us, but we're going to pray, we're going to fast until God sends Michael the archangel and releases Gabriel and brings me the answer. My God, I feel it. Woo! Michael the archangel came and freed Gabriel. It starts in the spirit. Daniel prayed and fasted. He didn't receive an answer. Can I tell you something? God spoke patience to me. He said, I'm already fighting for it. You see, I'm dreaming the will of God. I'm dreaming the will of God. I have a vision for the will of God. I have a vision for 500-400 souls lined up praying for healing, miracles, signs, and wonders. And Holy Ghost, the Spirit's already at war. See, your problem is, and my problem has been in the past, God gave me this revelation. We get down and out and discouraged because it ain't happening McDonald's style. Yeah, it is. That's it. You know it is. You get discouraged, you stay home from church. I don't feel like going because we let the spirit of discouragement weigh on us. And so we don't feel like going to church because God ain't doing as fast as we want him to. But at all the time, God said, I'm fighting for you. I'm fighting for you right now. They're in the spirit world trying to get through, but there's a devil accuser. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, your answer's on the way. I'm going to scream it. Your answer's on the way. Your answer's on the way. God's heard you. Your answer is on the way. My God, does anybody feel this? Nehemiah reminded the Lord. He reminded him of his covenant he made with the people of Israel. He prayed and asked God for opportunity. He said, God, I need an opportunity. Listen to what I'm praying, what I'm saying. I need an opportunity to approach the king. You just couldn't approach the king without being asked, or they would kill you. So Nehemiah prayed that God would stir him to where he could be asked to come before the king. Stop being mad that nothing's changing when you're not affecting the spirit world. Through prayer, everybody say, through prayer, Nehemiah secured a royal commission to go rebuild Jerusalem and its walls. But listen to this. It took 4 months, day and night of Nehemiah praying before the Lord made the opportunity for the king to call Nehemiah before him. 4 months. Nehemiah kept praying every day. God, you got to touch that king. You got to let him ask me, Lord, to come before him. He prayed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Come on. Come on. Day and night. Day and night. And some of you right now, it's got needs. You done folded your hands up, give up on God, give up on the situation. You done laid it aside. You're not praying about Yes, sir, I'm right. Because you think you're somebody special. We all are special. We all are his children. We all are brothers and sisters in the Lord. But we have an accuser of our brethren who wants us to talk us out of having faith in God. He wants to make you believe that God don't hear you. He wants you to believe that God can't work. He wants you to believe that God can't move. But Nehemiah said, I ain't quit praying. I'm going to pray day and night. I'm going to pray till the king asked me. I'm going to pray day and night. I'm going to pray day and night. I'm going to pray day and night. He kept praying. Somebody shout, he kept praying. There can be a change to that which had been damaged, a revival in your life. It all starts in the spirit. Which got granted? He got granted a letter. He got granted a letter from the king to go and rebuild. This letter, understand, was necessary to travel through countries and cities and to give him permission, authority to go past them. You hear me? It took the letter from the king to free him to pass through and have the authority, hear me, to rebuild. Do you understand? You've got a letter that's been given to you in authority. Yeah, I understand that. Redneck. You are a blood-bought child of the King, Holy Ghost-filled. The blood's covered your sins, your baptism. I don't know why you ain't excited, but you got a letter. That devil's trying to talk you out of all that stuff, but you know what you ought to do? You ought to hold the letter up. Said, God gives me authority right here. God gives me the authority to walk in your territory and take back everything you took from me. I demand you to be bound. I demand you to leave my house. I demand you to leave my spouse. I demand you to take your hand off my children. I demand it.
You know what the Lord really impressed on my spirit the other day when I was praying? He said, don't let the devil cause you to stop praying for your children, because I'm listening. I'm listening for your grandchildren. I know they may be where I need them to be right now, but God is hearing me, and God is working in the spirit, not on my speed, not on my time, but on His time. Don't get discouraged. Man, I feel Him in the house. Hey, I feel it. It works. The Spirit's here. Let me tell you something. The Spirit's loaded tonight in this house. I could point at somebody, I believe prophecy would come out of their mouth. I feel it so strong. Do you hear me? And I know some of you are going to sit there. We love you anyway. You're not going to go where we're at. We want you to just keep sitting there. But some people ain't going to pay the price. Nehemiah said, I want my letter. Can I tell you some praise? Saints of God, you got a letter. In Psalms 27:1, look at this. My God, I feel it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up on my flesh, they stumbled and they fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Come on, church. You know what? Some of you are going through war. It's a battle. It's a battlefield. Nobody knows what you're in. But you ought to stand in your battlefield and read Psalms 27:1-3 and say, I'm content. The Lord's with me. And the Lord's going to get me through this. And the Lord's going to bring me out of it. I'm confident. Hello, Mokosha. I'm confident. I'm confident. God is going to bring me through this. Somebody praise the mighty name of the Lord. He's going to bring you through. He's going to bring you through this. You cannot sit there and have a victory if you don't get up. Please don't allow what you see and hear determine your action. News, here we go real quick. Let me hurry. News of rebuilding the wall quickly traveled to the Jews' enemy. Hear what I'm fixing to say to y'all. Your enemy, is going to oppose you in rebuilding. Okay, you don't know what I'm talking about, do you? He's going to oppose you having revival to revive your life. All right, let's educate them, Jesus. Voices tried to quiet blind Barnabas. Shut down, boy. You're too loud. Jesus, thou son of David. Be quiet, boy. Be quiet. Jesus is here. Jesus, thou voice is going to try to quiet you from praying. Voice is going to try to stop you from fasting. Voice is going to try to stop you from reading the Word of God. Voices, but somebody needs to get their voices loud and shout, Jesus. Voices. Zambalab and the officials of the other surrounding nations seeing Jerusalem having revival at MPT. Zambalat would lose power and influence if he allowed them to rebuild it back. They would lose payoffs. You see, they got payoffs from the businesses like it happens today. They paid them off. You got to pay us off or we rough you up. Zambalat and Tobiah got paid off. Yeah. It ain't the first time it happened around here in America. It happened then. They would lose payoffs. The adversary don't want you to work to rebuild or have revival. because you would be a threat now that the damage is fixed. When you start to rebuild, you better look for opposition from the enemy. When you start praying, you start fasting, you start reading the word, you better start looking for opposition. I'm a pastor for 38 years, and I got a list of them. Everything happens on Wednesday. Don't it, babe? I'm going to write a book when I retire, What Happens on Wednesdays. I am, and I'm going to use your names. No. But isn't it? But you say, no. The adversary, he's opposing us. He don't want me or you to come to the house of God. Come on. He don't want us to grow in the word. He don't want, no, he don't. He's going to make anything happen that he can make happen, make happen. I remember, someone reminded me this the other day, and it had come to me. Now, most surgeries are when? On Wednesdays. Yeah, they are. Majority of surgeries and tests happens on Wednesdays. And the person who told me this said, I'll tell you why. Because doctors and nurses, majority of them, don't go to church. How many remember growing up when stores didn't open on Sundays? Eating places. If you eat, you had to go home. But the enemy is trying to oppose revival taking place in America. Yes, he is. He's trying to oppose us from having revival here. If he can make a kid sick, he's going to make a baby sick. If he can cause something to happen to your car, something happen at work, something happen in life, he's going to do it, try to afflict us. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. You listen to this, what happened. It is a sign that you have an opposition when you start rebuild because you become a threat when you rebuild. The first attack was symbolic, made mockery of the wall. He said the wall would be too weak. He said, he started making fun of Israel. That's what the devil does, try to convince you that you're praying and fasting is too weak and there will be no good. He wants you to cease from praying and fasting. Zambali wanted Nehemiah and the people stop rebuilding because the wall will not hold the enemy out. But I like what old Nehemiah did. Old Nehemiah was, his answer was to the threat of the Samaritan army. In verse 4 and 6, he prayed and persevered in work. And he prayed that the wicked would reap what they sowed and it would be executed on them. You know what you need to do? You need to pray the prayer on the wicked who tries to stop you. If it's a spirit, if it's affliction, you need to pray the prayer on it. Come on. You cannot stop when the enemy mocks you. No matter what he is telling you, keep working and keep praying and keep fasting because it's a threat. His threat means nothing. Zambalik knew that mockery failed. Now, what did he try to do? He tried to threaten attack. After they heard half the wall had been built, understand it was God who was helping them build the wall. You understand? You understand? It wasn't they prayed, God build the wall, God build the wall. They stood there. Revival ain't going to happen by us just praying. God, send a revival. Send a revival. Send a revival. There's a man in a city, I ain't going to call his name. I know him well. He leads prayer over a section. He's prayed, he's been over the leader of prayer for 40 years. In his church, runs 25 in a city that if we was there, we'd probably run 1,000. And the only thing they do is pray. Do y'all not go out and knock doors? No, we don't go out and knock doors. The Bible said if we lift him up, he'll draw all men in him. That's stupid, foolish, and not biblical. The Bible said we are to be witnesses, to go into all the world and tell them the gospel.
Come on, our work hadn't ceased when we pray and fast. Our work is to continue out in the world and tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them about the death, burial, and the resurrection. Tell them about the blood of Jesus. Tell them about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Our work ain't ceased by just praying. Does anybody feel what I feel? At one time, the rubbish was a faith killer until Nehemiah got them refocused. We've got to be refocused on prayer and fasting because, here, I want to slow down a minute. Our rubbish becomes a faith killer. Now, hear me. Nehemiah knew that keeping them working would cause them to stay focused on the work. I'm going to skip some things. The third attack was physical. Listen to this. The third attack was physically caused them to be worn out. There was so much rubbish to remove that the heaviness of the rubbish wore the people out. If I've ever saw in a time, I've been in church all my life, I've never saw a time, Brother David, like now. So much pressure on people. You may not know it, but there's pressure from jobs. There's pressure from spouses being sick. You don't know. There's spouses from children problems, grandchildren problems. And the other day I was praying, God was speaking, I was seeing this, and I looked at in the church, I said, oh my God, no wonder they're so worn out because of so much rubbish they're having to lift in their life. Come on, folks. So much things you're having to deal with. You're trying to move it out of the way, but it's come so heavy, it's wearing on you. Come on, saints, and you become weary. You're doing well, but it's weariness. And that's what the enemy was doing. They were wearing them out because they had to remove so much rubbish. This is what makes come. This happens in the spirit. Here we go. The heaviness of so much rubbish begins to wear you out. It gives you the spirit of weariness. Come on, saints. Come on. Come on. But I want to be a Nehemiah, and I want to tell the church, we can rebuild. We can do it. It's work. We can do it through prayer and fasting, but God will give us the strength to pick that rubbish up and to move it out of the way. I know it's heavy, but God will strengthen us to move it out of the way. Because Nehemiah stayed steadfast. Oh, my God, in fasting prayer. I'm going to skip some stuff. They rebuilt the walls and gates in 52 days. Would you stand, please? Thank you. We're fixing to do something. Oh God. Nehemiah 6, please. 6 and 15 and 16. Somebody shout, God's our help. Can I tell you something? I can't prophesy your rubbish out of the way. Follow me. But with God giving you strength, He'll help you move it. Now listen, it ain't gonna happen in one day. Come on, folks. I'm in the Holy Ghost now. It ain't gonna happen in one day. It took them 52 days, Brother Jim, to get there. I believe, Brother Patterson, every time they picked a bolter up and their old body shook, quivered, muscles cramped, back ached, I believe when they laid it down, the Lord touched them. He renewed their strength. So the wall was finished in 20 and 50 days of the month of Elul. In 50 and 2 days, it was finished. It came to pass when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, there was much cast down in their own eyes. That defeated the enemy's spirit because the people didn't stop. Come on. Some of you come in here, I'm trying to build your faith, but I'm telling you, the church is moving. You better get on board. You better. And I prayed when the Lord was talking to me about this message. The enemy was discouraged because they said, man, we talk bad to them. We threaten them. The weariness of the work, it didn't wear them out. When the enemy sees you're not going to be overcome for what you're dealing with, you're going to affect his spirit on your life. Did y'all hear me? They were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived, hear this, for they perceived that this work was wrought by God. They knew right then who made it happen. You know, I look at a lot of you, and a lot of you, you got your hands on a lot of rubbish, a lot of weariness. You're picking up a lot of stuff, and it's wearing on you. I know it is. I know it's wearing on you. I can see it as a shepherd. I can see it as your, where, but I'm here to tell you, we can rebuild. For about 2 minutes, I want you to lift your hearts and hands, Spirit. Spirit of the Lord is going to speak to you. He's already talked to me. I want you to open your mouth and heart. He's going to speak right now. Come on. Come on, he's here right now. He's here right now, saints. Yeah. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows your heaviness. He knows what you're praying for. Come on. While you're praying, I want to speak something the Lord put in my spirit for you. The Lord should tell you. He hears everyone's prayers. He catches them in vials and he puts them in vials in heaven. Your prayers are helped and never forgotten. But what he asks of you, don't give up. Stay persistent in your labor towards what you need done. And while you work, he's working for you. You may not see it at this moment or this time. It may be as Nehemiah. It may be 4 months down the road. It may be 21 days. But the Lord said, tell you, stay persistent in what you desire to see rebuilt. And the Lord said, tell you, he will anoint you with strength from him to overcome and rebuild, saith the Lord. Come on. Come on. He's going to give you strength to rebuild. I want to share this. Keep like you are. When God created a fish, he put him in the water. When he created a tree, he put it in the ground. When he created man, he put us in him. You take a fish from the water, he dies. You take a tree from the ground, it dies. You take you from God, and you die. Oh, Brother Jim, I want you to walk across the aisle or do something. The Lord is here. Reach over the front behind you. I want you to speak a word of faith for someone. Just lay hands on them, a word of encouragement. Come on, it's here. It's heavy. Before we go, just do it real quickly. Lay hand on someone. Yeah. Come on. There it is. It's here right now. The Spirit's been full. Yeah, God, you're working. You're working right now. We pray today that this word has blessed you, ministered to the needs of your life. Until next time, God bless you.